Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Inspirista Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine and founder of Inspired Living University, a sacred curriculum and community for women on the path of self-discovery. If you're ready to dive deeper into the topics that, you know, that turn you on, come check out Inspired Living University at inspiredlivinguniversity.com. So I have to tell you, and I've discovered this on my own path, that your emotional well-being is the most precious asset you have. Jodi Amon, intuitive counselor and author of Anxiety, I Am So Done With You, joins me to help us understand how to become empowered problem solvers when life feels out of control and how our intuition plays an important role. And she'll also be sharing some vibe-lifting strategies to help us navigate these trying times. And we all know these are trying times. So as someone that has struggled with anxiety the first 3 decades of my life and have family members, I love the work that Jodi's doing in the world, and I'm so thrilled to have her here. As an intuitive counselor for over 20 years, Jodi helps teens, parents, and couples heal from their past and develop robust emotional resilience. I really enjoyed her TEDx Wilmington talk called Calm Anxious Kids. And her new book, Anxiety, I'm So Done With You, that I mentioned earlier, are both changing the way that we understand the current mental health crisis. Jodi currently trains therapists, coaches, and helpers on how to use their intuition to help people move to peace in their lives. Welcome, Jodi.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, the work that you're doing in the world really speaks to me, and I believe this is divine timing to have you on the show when anxiety is just permeating everyone. And then those who do struggle with it. And as I mentioned, you know, I have a grandson that's 20 that has always, you know, he's a sensitive, he struggles. And then you add on everything that's going on in the world, Jodi. I don't know how people are balancing. So let's dive in there. What are you noticing?
Well, you know, at first, well, things have happened so differently over the last 6 months than ever before. You know, at first we all stayed home and that was a huge transition for people. And actually, some people's anxiety went down if it was triggered by social situations. You know, they felt like, oh, this is a little bit easier. They didn't have that pressure. And then for some people, initially, they were like, I can't stay home. Like, I'm losing all the things that I am used to doing to help settle my mind and my heart. And so those people, initially, their anxiety went up. But then once they saw that they could do it, they felt a little bit better. But then the energy from the field just got a bit toxic, you know, kind of their energy of the whole community at large, because there's a lot of political fighting right now. There's a lot of people afraid and so much loss, right? Loss of ability to do stuff, loss of family members, and then a real fear, like a real threat out there. And so, yeah, so people have been kind of running through the whole gamut. So now everyone's feeling that energy of the field. And we started to sort of get back to normal, but we're missing a lot of the stuff we're used to in the past. And so there's a constant period of adjustment. And so in some ways, the adjustment is helping us build resiliency. And in some ways, it's increasing fear. So it depends on how you're responding to that is how you're going to feel right now.
I think that's a great insight, too, because like for myself, if this world situation was happening 25 years ago when I really struggled with anxiety, I didn't have the tools back then, right, to stay emotionally balanced and grounded. Thankfully, I have them now. But what about those out there who are struggling, Jodi, and they don't have the tools?
The tools are really available and they're out there. And so they're not as hard as you think to learn them. And so it is a time where it could be an invitation. So for some people, it's like doomed and I'm trapped. And then they go into that, I feel trapped and just stay stuck. And some people are like, this is an invitation. I can't live like this. I have to figure this out. And that's always when people begin to heal, when they decide, I'm not going to do this anymore. Like some people have anxiety and they're like, oh, that's it. I have anxiety. I'm doomed forever. Nothing could change. And they stay there. And some people have anxiety and say, nope, I can't do this. It is so bad. I got to get help. And there is help out there. Like, you know, I've cured myself. I have 2 decades of anxiety as well. And it is curable. It is highly treatable. And it's how you think about it makes all the difference. And so the people who are using this as an invitation to get better are actually getting better.
Oh, I'm so resonating with everything you said. Because for me, when I got on my spiritual path, my anxiety reduced. And then to now I can say, other than maybe if it's an intense situation, it may come up because I'm human. But it was once I opened up and looked at it as, okay, it's coming up to tell me something that's out of alignment. So I looked at it as a signal that was trying to guide me to a better life, not as something that was who I was.
That's beautiful. Yeah. If you think it's something for you instead of something against you, it definitely changes your relationship with it. Anxiety is an interesting thing because it's a feeling, it's a sensation, right? It's an experience. But what makes the suffering happen is how we think about that experience. Because someone who's a surfer or a motorcyclist or something or a jet skier, like the thrill and that the adrenaline lift in your body actually is what they're craving. And that's what they do the speeding for, is to get that. It feels awesome. And it's the same exact hormone as somebody who's having a panic attack. It's just that they're thinking about that experience different, as if they're in danger instead of in that invigorated thrill state. So if you think about it like that, it's like, well, everything is how you think about anxiety. So just your shift there and looking at anxiety as a message for you changed being afraid of it, right? It became something that was for you instead of against you.
Yeah, and for me, it was about, I was tired of labeling myself. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us do this because that's the scripts we grew up with. Mm-hmm. It was like, it became a label. And I'm like, says who? Who says I have to keep this label? Mm-hmm. And that was a big shift for me. I don't have to own that or identify as it. It's not who I am. It's just something I'm feeling. And then it just changed everything. And, you know, thankfully, I have a very close relationship with my grandson. He processes a little different than me. But we can have those conversations of, Ty, the longer you stay focused on the anxious thought, the negative episode or thing that you're going through, the longer you're going to hold on to the feeling of anxiety.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? Yeah, the anxiety needs you to engage, right? It needs you to be upset by it, what it's saying. It needs you to be afraid of it in order for it to perpetuate. You know, we need to be upset in order for that adrenaline to keep being fed into our body. If we weren't upset, it would stop. And so, yeah, so when we look at the anxious thought or try to solve it, and a lot of times it's unsolvable because it's like, sometimes it's nonsensical what the anxiety is saying. And so when you try to solve that or engage and think about that anxious thought, like, what if is not happening right now? It's an unsolvable problem. And so if we spend a lot of time there and we can't solve it, then it's just going to continue to make us feel out of control, helpless, worthless, and then the anxiety will continue.
Yeah, I described it to a friend. I said, you know, sometimes we wear a label, in this case, anxiety. And I said to her, you know, maybe you've got so cozy, like a big cozy sweater, and that's your comfort zone now. You know what it feels like in that comfy sweater, which is her anxiety and the story and the label. I said, what if you just took the damn sweater off, mm-hmm. right? And she goes, I never thought of it that way, that I could take it off. I'm just, this is my identity. I said, but you're choosing it. It's just like if we choose another identity, right? Like wild child or whatever the label is. And that's what worked for me, is like peeling off the layers. Mm-hmm. One of the things, before we go on our first break, is what I'm noticing and just the conversations in my community with so many women talking about their children. Like, I remember my anxiety hit probably, I don't know, 16, 17, and then, you know, went on from there. I'm talking to parents whose children are like 8 years old and having severe anxiety and social anxiety. I have to say, it was even before COVID. Of course, COVID now escalated that. What is happening? That's why I watched it, your TEDx, right? I'm like, okay, well, I got to get the answers here. So
yeah.
Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, I love everyone. I invite anyone to watch my TEDx Wilmington talk. Just search Jody Eamon TEDx, you'll find it. But I really explain, you know, after being in the field for almost 25 years, I've been doing this work and talking to people and seeing the shift in the last 25 years of an increase of anxiety. I realize that there's an increase of luxury that we have. And we're being disconnected in a lot of different ways from the concept of cause and effect, that you have to do something to get something. And this has really disconnected us with our own skills and abilities. So we have skills and abilities. We're highly adaptable. It's not like we lost our brain adaptability, that, you know, in 2 million years, we've been evolved to have this incredibly adaptive brain. We did not lose that. We use skills. It's just that we're not seeing them anymore. We don't know that we have them. And so kids younger and younger feel trapped in their inadequacies or their inability. They feel like they're passive recipients of life. If life just happens to them and there's nothing they can do about it, it is so scary. And this is, you know, primarily because the rise of screens, with their commercialism so much all the time, telling us you get stuff just because, and then there's virtual trauma, and then there's comparison culture increasing and increasing. This is why our anxiety is increasing, is because we've lost that cause and effect. We don't realize we have to do something to get something. And it had a huge impact. So kids today are suffering more than they ever have been, but they actually have easier lives than they have had in the past. In the past, they've had harder lives, and then they build confidence because they realize they have skills to adapt and do stuff. And, you know, now kids are not seeing any skills that they have, and they really think they don't have any.
Well, you're really nailing it on some of the conversations I've had with moms, especially about, you know, young children who almost are walking around in the victim energy, but they have the ideal life in so many ways, but they're taking on the persona of victim energy, mm-hmm. at such a young age, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, exactly.
I'm like, oh my God, what are they going to be like when they're like, what's their soul going to be like? You know, when you go through your normal preteens.
Yes.
Like, what will happen?
And Linda Joy, this is why. It's because they have the skills, but think that they don't, because they're losing. It's a concept that we understand, and we start to understand, like when we do chores, when we do things that are hard, you know, when we engage in life. And right now they're getting messages all day that there is no cause and effect. Things just happen randomly. And that is why they think it's not their fault. It's not the parents' fault. It's enculturated. It's conditioned in our culture to do this. And that's why it's increasing. But if we understood it and knew about it, we definitely could shift and begin to see ourselves. And that's my message all the time. And every time I do an interview, really trying to get that out, or my videos on YouTube, I'm really trying to get that out so people could see it differently, and it completely changes how they react.
This is so beautiful. And before we go to break, I want to share with everyone the TEDx talk we're talking about is TEDx Wilmington. And you can look it up. It's called Calm Anxious Kids. It's powerful. I will share it on my Facebook page this weekend. And I invite you all to look that up. And you can also learn more about Jody at jodyaman.com. And we'll be right back with more talk about children, anxiety, emotional resilience, and more.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a Woman's Soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. With me today is intuitive counselor, Jody Amon. So Jody, along with having a 20-year-old grandson, I have an 8.5-year-old granddaughter, and my daughter's a sensitive too, and she's just such a grounded, loving mom. She was just made for it. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm so grateful for is limited screen time. Like most of her friends at 8.5 have phones. Mm-hmm. Nikki's like, you are not getting a phone at 8.5 years old. She can only use an iPad to FaceTime friends. She cannot go on a lot of the sites. It's always baking, crafts. But I'll still sometimes hear, I call her little goddess. I will sometimes catch the little goddess, you know, giving herself a pep talk. And sometimes, you know, I'll hear her say something like, where is this coming from? You're 8.5. You don't have to worry about these kind of things. And my daughter says, Mom, you should hear some of the kids. It's not like when we were young. My daughter's 36, just to kind of put mm-hmm. it in perspective. So how does our current emotional wellness differ from other generations? Because just from myself to my 36-year-old daughter down to 8, there's such a big difference, Jody.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the evolution of the world is getting faster, but that's a little more esoteric. You know, we really want to understand it. And it's hard to separate what's going on emotionally and in our emotional resilience with screens, because they've really changed the way we do everything. You know, they changed the way the convenience has changed the way we actually have to engage with life. It's changed our social situation. It's changed everything. And people think, well, people are open more about mental health. That's why it's growing, because people are more open. It was there before, but people just didn't talk about it. That's not true. It wasn't there as much. I mean, it was there sometimes because people had trauma, and so they had these experiences. And so we are, but this is definitely a different situation than before, because these kids have this sense of entitlement, yet they feel inadequate. So there's this paradox going on. Everybody's saying you're entitled, and it's such an insult to Generation Z, because they don't see that. They see themselves as victims. They see themselves as unable and suffering intensely, and then everyone's telling them that they're self-centered and entitled, and they feel horrible about that because they feel inadequate. They feel trapped. They feel stupid. They feel unable. They don't see that at all. So there's a major disconnect. They are actually entitled, but they don't see that they are. All of that is coming from the same thing, that lack of cause and effect. So while people are talking about it more, maybe people are talking about it more just because we have these platforms, it's becoming normal and engaging, you know, everyone could relate. And so that's why if something's relatable, it's popular. And so that's why this is popular, but it's not necessarily helping anybody. In some ways, people who advocate, the mental health advocates are out there advocating that they're different than other people. I think this is a big mistake. I think it creates people defending their limitations, and then they keep those limitations. And
oh, I agree. I see it all the time.
Yeah. And so it's, the intentions are great, but what is actually happening is they double down on feeling different than other people. Then you don't have a way, then your limit, it defines a limit. When you're really unlimited, you could change, everything could change, everything's relatable. But when you think about it that way, it's not changeable. It's like a chronic, it's something you have forever, you just have to quote manage. I mean, that's not true. There is some mental health professionals that still say that to people. Or the mental health or the medical professionals are saying that like antidepressants equal to insulin and diabetes. I talk about this in my book, Anxiety, I'm So Done With You, because we really have to know. We really have to understand that that metaphor doesn't make sense. And actually, you know, they were sued back in like the 70s or something to not have that in any of their marketing. But their pharmaceutical representatives still use that. And so I hear doctors saying it to their patients still, and therapists saying to their patients. And the intention is to get rid of the stigma because people feel awful that they have to take it. And so they want to get rid of the stigma so they can have their patients feel better, and they say it. So the intentions are really good. Well, not the pharmacist, they're just trying to sell it probably, but yeah. For the doctors, they're like, I want to help. But what happens is then they feel like they lose sense with their agency, right? They're an agent in their life. They could do stuff. They could respond. They could make a difference. But when you think you have to have medicine, like it's, Your anxiety is definable and you have to have medicine in order to help it. Like there's no other choice. Then you lose touch with your agency. It's actually hurting people. And we want people to connect with their agency. That's what I mean by connecting with your skills and abilities. That's our whole problem right now is we're disconnected. We have skills, we're disconnected. So saying you have to take this medicine, it's just like diabetes, will continue to separate you from your skills and abilities.
This is just powerful insights. And I did the medication route back 25 years ago. And yes, it helped for the time that I was doing it. And then one day I just woke up and I was at a part in my personal development and spiritual development. So it was probably 15 years ago. I just woke up with a knowing. Mm-hmm. I was done. And I didn't even tell my doctor, which I am not advising anyone else to do this, but I slowly weaned myself off, Jody. And didn't tell the family, didn't anything. I didn't want any inside output because it was a knowing. And that was my decision, 13, 14 years ago. Mm. Now, for me, it was what you just said. It was about owning my own, like inner wisdom, knowing, agency. Mm-hmm. It was just a knowing. And I've never felt better. But I had worn that label so long, you do what they say you should do. And do you run into that a lot with your clients or
yeah, absolutely. You know, people who think that they could get better, and people think that they can't, don't. And so that's the first message in all of my videos, all of my programs that help people with anxiety, all of my books that help people with anxiety. I have 4 books now. That message is first and foremost. Anxiety is people not connected with their personal agency, not connected with their own ability, you know, because you feel like the anxiety is in control and not you. And what's different about what I teach is that we break down the power of anxiety. You know, most anxiety books out there give you those skills to calm anxiety once it comes. But mine is different because I take down the power of anxiety. And that's deconstructing how our culture has kind of created us to really worship this thing we call anxiety, because it's the priority in our life, you know, that trying to satisfy it somehow. And it's not satisfiable, you know, so it just keeps coming and coming.
Oh yeah, it does. I remember those days. So how can, you know, when life feels out of control, how can we teach ourselves or our family or grandchildren how to become empowered problem solvers? Like, is there a strategy or tip that you start people with?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you could keep learning about this on and on, and I do have a lot of programs, but what I would say right now and a tip is, if you're a parent, start to notice your kids' unique abilities. Start to reflect back. And it's not like you're a great person or you're beautiful. You know, it has to be specific. You want to start from when you're young, they're young, or any age they are now, start right away and show them the specific things that they do. Because we have skills that we use all day, but we notice so much our inadequacies, what we didn't get to, what we didn't do good on. Like, those things are in our face, and all the skills just feel like normal. We don't even pay attention to them. So if our parents and our loved ones, and then ourselves, because I help people do this to themselves too, if we notice our specific abilities, so it's like, what a great idea you had. I didn't even think of that idea. Nobody thought that idea but you. You know how to think outside the box. So it's really specific. And for ourselves, so you could do that for a loved one as a parent, but for yourself, I encourage my clients to every night, before they go to bed, write down three things that they did that day, that they accomplished. So it's, you know, we could write down gratitude, and we know that the research says that if we write down three things we're grateful for each day, it does increase our happiness level. But this will exponentially multiply it. If you also write down three things that you accomplished that day, it starts to get you to notice, because you could be grateful for a sunset, or you could be grateful for something somebody else did. The second three things need to be something that you did, that you're, so it's connecting you with your skills. You start to notice, because then the next day you have to pay attention to the things that you did do. It could be emptying the dishwasher. It could be making that phone call that's been on your list forever. It could be cleaning a room, whatever, or a drawer. Something that you did. You had a good idea. You problem solved something. And it begins to have you connect with your skills and abilities. And once you build that trust in yourself, anxiety really can't live in your life. Anxiety means you don't trust yourself. Like, anxiety and trust are the opposites of each other. And so when you build that trust, everything changes. So when you know you have skills and abilities, then it doesn't matter what happens. You have resiliency.
I love that, because I could feel it in my body. You know, I was like, okay, because I do my gratitude practice every morning and night for 25 years. But when you were describing, I just allowed myself to feel it, like, okay, it's a different energy shift. But I could see it, that, especially with a child, to be able to go, I rode my bike for the first time 3 feet. It's like turning it inward, where gratitude a lot of times is outward.
They're both incredibly powerful, but they're different for different reasons. And, you know, we are enculturated. It is our culture. We're a deficit culture. We see our deficits. So we have to train ourselves to see our goodness, our uniqueness, our skills. We just have to train it. And it's easy to do. And it doesn't hurt. There's no risk. And so it's something that if everyone did it, we'd really shift the way we feel.
It's such a powerful strategy to leave our listeners with before we jump to break. And I know a lot of your work is around intuition and helping your clients and audience connect with it. When we come back from our break, I'd like to dive in there, like, what is intuition and how do we know we have it, and dive in from there. So I'll be back in a moment. I'm with Jodi Amman. You can learn more about the sacred work she's doing in the world at jodiamman.com, and Amman is spelled A-M-A-N. Visit our website, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Experience a homecoming to your heart. In the foreword of Dr. Deborah Riebel's new book, Being Love, how loving yourself creates ripples of transformation in your relationships and the world, Marcy Shimoff shares, the answer to our inner longing isn't finding love, it's being love. The practices that Dr. Deborah presents in Being Love are keys to opening your heart and receiving your divine birthright as a physical manifestation of love. Her techniques, developed over years of successful private practice with her clients and from her extensive training in multiple disciplines, are accessible, compassionate, and effective. Her message is powerful, and if you allow it, will change your whole life. Order your copy of Being Love today at beinglovebook.com and receive over 45 transformational gifts. Being Love is brought to you by Inspired Living Publishing.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Hi, you're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Jodi Aman, intuitive counselor, author of multiple books. She is well known for her TEDx Wilmington talk called Calm Anxious Kids. We're talking about all that and more today. So Jodi, right before the break, I brought up intuition. What is intuition for those who are on the call going, what does intuition have to do with how I feel and anxiety? So take it from there, my friend.
Sure. Yeah. In the last segment, we were talking about the anxiety is the opposite of trust, self-trust. And so when I think we're all very sensitive. So people who are very sensitive, and we're all sensitive, but some of us are very sensitive. You know, we think of ourselves as empaths, and that highly sensitive person is something that's increasing, and we're all like me. And if we began to use that as a skill instead of as a liability, because it causes us anxiety, because we could feel the energy from the field, then we shift how we experience life. You know, we use it to our benefit and to the benefit of the people around us instead of letting it hurt us and make us have to stay home because we're an introvert and we can't go out like that because it's, you know, it's too overwhelming. You're too sensitive. Or letting the anxiety take over our life. So if I realized that if I top, you know, some people want to cure their anxiety and this is a fast track. So everyone has some intuitive abilities, and we also have the ability to develop our intuitive skills. And so intuition means that you know something that you wouldn't ordinarily know from ordinary time and space. Like, so you have information, you either have feelings, that's clairsentience, like you feel something, like you're sitting next to someone, you can kind of feel their energy. You were just describing it when I was talking about this method of writing your skills down. You could feel that in your body. So you're feeling yourself at a later time writing down your skills, right? So that's clairsentience. Or clairaudience might be you might hear somebody, or clairvoyance. We know that word. One is that really particular. This is what I teach people is that clairsentience, you know, you could feel those things, but the good part of it is what you know from the feeling, you know, the information that you get for it. So I help people shift from having the skills in clairsentience, which is just kind of what you have, to claircognizance, which means instead of feeling it, you have the knowing part, which helps you do something with it without having to feel that negativity if there's a negative aspect of it. And so that's what I help clients do. I help them transfer being an empath and feeling everything, even the terrible stuff, to having to developing skills in claircognizance so they know the information so they could do something without having to like feel it in their body in a negative way.
I think it's so powerful. And for me, I feel, but I also hear. But when you said claircognizance, it's taking the information from what you're feeling, correct?
Well, it's actually just you get the information straight instead of having to feel it. So we're going to transfer that intuition because sometimes feeling it, you could feel it and use it. But sometimes feeling it is too much. Or sometimes can you turn off the feeling? You know, if you're walking through the airport or you're walking through someplace and you feel all the negative from everybody, it could be really overwhelming, especially right now. You know, during the pandemic and everything going on, it's like, we don't want to take on all that stuff. It doesn't help them. It doesn't help us. We want to get information. So we want it to come in through our cognition instead of through our body.
I love that description. And to me, it makes sense because someone with anxiety, they're feeling too much all at once and don't know how to handle it. It's like their system's overloaded.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right. So we're going to give them the information that they need. You know, anxiety says all these things. You know, it's anxiety is like, you got to be scared about this and this bad thing might happen. And it's all nonsense what anxiety says. It sounds like it could be true or there's a what if, but anxiety gives us these nonsensical things and we feel something in our body and then our anxiety is trying to find a problem and then we go to those things. But if we get the information, you know how you said anxiety is a message? If we got the message without having to feel the anxiety or it in our body, then we could just respond with, virtually no suffering at all, right? We're eliminating the piece that we don't really have to do. It doesn't really serve us or help us. We're getting the information, we're getting the message, and we're able to go forward with that. So it's absolutely avoiding the suffering.
Which is so powerful. And that's one of the strategies you use with your clients and in your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So how do you not take it in? And a lot of it's belief, just with anxiety. You know, anxiety is it's the same feeling, but there's all different meaning. Did you know that being upset, being frustrated, being angry, being things are weird, being confused, being startled, being anxious, they're all the same hormone. All of those things, any upsetness is all adrenaline, but we think about them very distinctly. They feel totally different to us, but they're all the same. So that is important to know, is that we make meaning around our feelings, whatever it is. So if we wanted to not be anxious and suffering, then we could do something else with it or think of it a different way. And that's incredibly powerful in protecting ourselves. It's like how we think. You know, a lot of people are sensitive, think that there's nothing to do about that. You just be sensitive. And so you have to like block out the news and you have to stay home a lot and adjust. Like you're losing out on life. That's not fair.
It's so true. And what you had just said, I was just thinking back before I understood what intuition was and all the clairs. I can remember, God, going back 26, 27 years before I met my honey, being in a restaurant or pub, lounge, and having the hair go up on my neck and always noticing that I always wanted the same corner seat and never knowing why, Jody, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say, I wonder why I always have to sit in this place. It's because I never wanted my back towards the room. And I would realize I was picking up energy. It took me a long time to figure it. And of course, you don't want the kind of energy that comes in pubs and restaurants, right? Especially the regulars. And after a while, I said, okay, I received that way. And I had to do so much inner work so that now I can hold space for 400 or 500 people and not not feel like the energy's hitting me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you don't have to take it in.
So I went from someone that couldn't even be in a closed-in room with other people because I didn't know how to, you know, process all the energy coming at me, to being able to create events for 400 or 500 people and hold space for them. And so everything you're talking about now, I'm like, oh my God, people with anxiety, so they're not processing. If you can bypass that, as you said, the clairsentience, and bring them to claircognizance, they avoid that whole painful journey that I went through.
Yes, exactly. Okay, exactly. So, I mean, you had to figure this out all by yourself.
Yeah,
when people come to me or to you, right, that they, if you have a mentor who could help you do that, it's, you don't have to take all this time and inner work and all that thing.
Yes.
You have someone to be able to teach you the skills. And so it's just so much easier.
Well, I want to say to everyone, please, please, I hold these kind of conversations and bring you the experts, because I don't want anyone to take the long way through struggle and pain when I know there are experts like Jody on this topic who can help you shorten the curve so you can get down to living, enjoying, and loving your life. Believe me, I wish I had those 20 years back, right, to process differently. So Jody, this is such an important conversation we're having, and we're going to take our final break, and we'll come back. I want to talk more about, you know, how social media is affecting our minds and hearts, which that's a conversation I think in itself. But how about we also cover in the final segment is like, what are some things we can do every day to raise our vibe? Because that's a lot of the language I use in my brands. It's like, come on, got to elevate your vibe. So we're going to be back in a moment with Jody Aman. You can learn more at jodyaman.com. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Does the energy in your life or home feel stuck or stagnant? Your home surroundings may be impacting your mood, energy level, and even how much money you attract. It's time to clear the energy blocks in your immediate surroundings so you can attract enhanced health, happiness, and abundance. Carrie Miller, feng shui expert, speaker, and coach, and the author of Feels Better, Flows Better, Feng Shui for Inspired Living, merges her sacred skills in feng shui, space clearing, aromatherapy, and coaching to support her clients in making subtle changes to their home that allow energy to flow and create spaces that are comfortable, functional, supportive, and inspiring. Whether you're called to clear one room or your full home, Carrie offers feng shui and energy clearing services on-site or virtually to meet your needs. Learn more at carriemillerconsulting.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm Linda Joy, and I am so glad that you're here with me today. With me also is Jody Aman, intuitive counselor, author of multiple books, but her newest one is Anxiety, I Am So Done With You. She also has a very popular TEDx Wilmington talk called Calm Anxious Kids. I will be sharing that on my Facebook page this weekend, so please head on over. Share it with those in your life who have children struggling. So Jody, social media breaks my heart when I keep reading about these young people taking their lives. What they call, I don't know, what do you call those kids that like the big following, influencers?
Yeah.
And I'm seeing younger and younger. It's something you will circle back to what you said earlier, is this comparison thing, feeling less than. Well, social media magnifies that. And I don't think they're emotionally ready for social media.
That's so true. That's so true. They have done studies also. And when kids are, the longer they're on per day, the more risk they are of suicide. And then think about us sheltering in place and in quarantine, they were on all day because there was nothing else. Right. But so we really do have to do something about it, and in raising our kids to be a little more well-rounded and have other activities so they're not bored. You know, boredom is the devil's workshop in a lot of ways. It's anxiety's workshop when you're bored. Like the negativity comes in. Our brain is so developed to problem solve and adapt and do all these things. And if we don't give it that, those jobs to invigorate it and keep us feeling like we're worthy in doing it, then it uses it for negative. We have such a capacity for thought, and when we don't use it, it just goes into the negative. And so the times they're on social media is often the times that they're bored and nothing else is going on. And so that is, you got to combine. You have the negative in the thought from being bored, and then the isolation. And then you're looking at other people who seem to be like so happy because it's their highlight. Like you're comparing your backstage mess to somebody's highlight reel. And it's not real. It's not R-E-A-L. So that's important to know, and to really keep inviting kids to see that big picture view of what's going on, because if they understood it, they'd do something different. And so I love that your daughter is limiting screen time, or not even having your child have a smartphone. They don't need smartphones.
Even though she still watches, she will not put on regular TV. So McKenna doesn't really know commercials, all that bull crap stuff. She's only allowed to watch certain stations, has been since she was young. And some people would say, well, that's so protective. And Nick's like, you see the stuff that's out there? She has a whole rest of her life to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know any parents. Parents are like, they might feel guilty and might judge because of their own guilt. But most people are like, oh, I wish I could do that. Actually, yeah, really think that that's a good thing.
Yeah, she doesn't. McKenna doesn't know any better because she's never had it. Though I have to say, a friend got a phone and called my daughter's phone and said, can I talk to McKenna? And McKenna was talking to him, and she said something, and the girl goes, oh no, this is my own phone. So of course McKenna goes, but she's only in second grade and she has a phone. And she goes, and that's her parents' decision, but your parents' decision is, and she honored it.
Second grade. My dear. I mean, I think it's bad. So what's the difference? So I have, my stepson's 28 and my son's 21. And so totally different, because my stepson didn't have a smartphone till he was a senior in high school. So he's a millennial. He's at the end of the millennials. And my son's kind of in the beginning of Generation Z. And so Generation Z is different because my son had smartphone from like seventh grade. And so those 6 years are huge, but now you're seeing kids younger and younger than seventh grade even having them.
Well, I have to say, out of her Girl Scout troop of 12, my daughter said half have phones at second grade.
That's, yeah. And I mean,
I don't even understand why a child would need a phone, but you're also, like, McKenna doesn't know what YouTube is. And she has a friend who, I should say acquaintance, who lives on YouTube. And the things they talk about, I'm like, is anyone watching this child? Because on YouTube, you can land up, you know. Yeah. And then what's the child say? Do you know the world is ending?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Because YouTube is not meant for a child of 8 years old who can't process what they're seeing.
Right.
So are you noticing that the social media is affecting kids younger and younger now?
Yeah, of course, it's increasing anxiety because, yes, there's these conspiracy theories or fear-based, you know, things that people are talking about that will freak you out. It'll freak an adult out, let alone an eight-year-old. So absolutely, I feel like it is young. I mean, it's a concern that, you know, seventh graders have it. But once kids start being on their own, once they turn like 10 or 11 or 12, they're walking around neighborhoods without their parents there. And that's usually when parents start getting the phone, but they still don't need a smartphone. But now you can't get a non-smartphone, really. You can, but they're just rare. And so I think that's the thing. It's like, oh, I could get a hold of them. That's why parents want it early. Or yeah, maybe it's social pressure or whatever. There's a lot of different reasons. And I hate to blame parents, because there's a huge commercialism targeting devices for younger kids as well. So they're, you know, we are up against a lot.
Well, it's so true. So we have about 5 minutes left, Jody. I invite you to share some things that we can raise a vibration, and maybe one for a child that we can help, a parent can help a child with too.
Yeah, I think if we only have 5 minutes, I think that the most impact that you could have is spending time outside. So spending time without the devices, but spending time outside. I think that's one thing good about this time is that people have been outside more than they ever have been at all ages, even teenagers, just been outside so much because that's how they could see their friends. And just some time outside. People are hiking more and being in parks, and that's wonderful. So spending time with your kids outside, that action activities, like being active out there, like walking or hiking, is excellent. But it just settles the mind. It settles like the heart. It recalibrates your nervous system. And it's really going to help them get back to, you know, feeling into themselves instead of being distracted by all this stuff or feeling trapped. It also makes you not feel trapped. So it heals your anxiety even on that level. But I think that's the biggest, fastest, free way to raise our vibration is to spend some time outside with some plants. And if you can't so much, if you're in a little apartment or something, if you could have some apartment plants, that really helps raise our vibration inside. Even just spend a little time talking to a plant or taking care of something alive, it really shifts the energy.
Oh, those are great tips. And I totally agree, because I noticed the difference even in myself. I'm blessed to live in the middle of the woods on a spring-fed pond in the middle of nowhere. Nice place to cocoon, you know, during these times. But like when I have a busy day, and I will say to people, I don't care how busy you are, if you don't have 10 minutes to go just ground in nature, just go stand and enjoy the view of wherever you are, then you need to change something in your life. But when I have a busy day, I will go out 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I can feel my energy shift. I'm not doing anything other than just tapping into nature and being, right? Stepping out of doing and just be. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing for me.
That is beautiful. It is. It's so, sorry about that. It's so beautiful and necessary. Really, really is.
It is. And one of the things I noticed with McKenna, I call her the little goddess on social media.
I love it.
Is she loves to be outside. And Nick, my daughter, knows really McKenna's personality. So they are always baking. They bake from scratch. So McKenna, Mama and Papa get all the baked goods. You know, that can lead to trouble. Yeah. So, you know, they deliver baked goods and they do crafts and all this. And Nick says when she's in that process of creating, whatever it may be, she just can see that that's a way that soothes McKenna. But also, it's something that you said earlier, and I'll just, you know, recap with that. Something you said earlier is give them skill sets where they can see their skills.
Yes, so that's why.
Like, Mama and Papa, I did my first three-layer cake, because Nikki buys her all the molds, everything. So this kid has just learned fondant at 8 and a half.
Oh, it's awesome.
Well, the beautiful part is Nikki says, Mom, she's learning, she's creating, but then she comes over with such pride for this creation. Like, I used my cake cutter, I did fondant for the first time. Nick says it's elevating her belief in herself.
Absolutely. It's developing that prefrontal cortex, and that changes, like, when your prefrontal cortex is developed really well by doing creative activities, problem solving, you know, trying something, learning something new, then your anxiety and depression go down. And that's a little bit of the problem with social media, is that you're not using that, right? You're passive recipient of the content a lot of the time. So you're not problem solving, creating, learning something. Sometimes you're learning something a little bit, but you know, that's why anxiety is so high, because we're not developing that prefrontal cortex by doing chores and doing things. That's why my TEDx talks about chores. It's like, we want to encourage them to do things, because that is definitely going to settle their, it's going to build their emotional resilience. It's going to build their confidence in themselves, and it's going to really decrease any depression and anxiety.
Well, I am so grateful that you are able to join me today, Jody. This is such an important topic. I'm thrilled that you'll be writing an article for the December-January issue of Aspire, because, like I started this conversation with, this is a conversation that needs to be had. Your products, programs, your TEDx talk needs to get out there. I'm happy to help you do that. And thank you, my friend, for being here.
Thanks so much, Linda Joy. I enjoyed it so much.
And everyone, I want to invite you to visit jodiaman.com to learn more about her books, products, programs, and what she's up to in the world. Until next time, my friends, choose love, choose joy, and choose happiness.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.